Let us sing together hymn 263. Commence our worship of 263. The tune of Salem's Plains 407. Friends, written over this hymn is, "Blessed are they that mourn. There's many millions of ungodly that mourn for those that they lose, but I do not believe that is the mourning referred to here. This is the mourning of a soul that has been brought to know that their sin has separated them from a holy God, brought to know and confess their sin, brought to grieve over what that sin has cost their Lord, and mourn over their continuing sins." Hymn 263, tune Salem's Plains, 407. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. They are blessed on earth, for 'tis by grace they see and know their mournful case. Blessed mourners, they shall shortly rise to endless comfort in the skies. Dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. And when my mourning days are o'er, enjoy thy comforts evermore. Hymn 263, tune Salem's Plains, 407. May we help to read together the first chapter of the book of Ruth. The first chapter of the book of Ruth, and then a few verses in the fourth chapter. Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou art to thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And then if you would turn with me to the fourth chapter, commence reading of verse 13 through to 17 inclusive. 13 to 17 in the fourth chapter. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbours, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse. the father of David. Leave the reading there. May the Lord help us to pray. Almighty God, we do pray for that real access in prayer in and through the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We plead his name. We plead for the leading, the teaching in prayer of the Holy Spirit. Oh dear Lord, please hear us. Lord, thou knowest the case, the thoughts, the feelings, the anxieties, the questions, Lord, the prayers of each dear soul here, of each dear soul that might be listening in. Thou knowest and thou seest us exactly as we are. No man or woman or child can hide from thee. Thou, Lord God, seest me. And what a mercy that is. Though, dear Lord, we might rightly fear, confess those things that thou knowest and seest in us, Lord. Or may we pour them out in secret before thee. May we be given that confession of sin and that forgiveness of sin, Lord. May we know thee as that friend of sinners. Oh dear Lord, what a mercy. Once in thee forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. Though we are so unworthy, Lord. Though we, Lord, are so unfit in and of ourselves, yet, dear Lord, all the fitness thou requirest is to feel your need of him. Lord, grant that each one of us, whatever our age or case be, oh, may we have that feeling need of thee, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, may we truly say, heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Are we waiting, Lord? Lord, thou knowest, thou seest. And if we're not waiting, Lord, oh, give us that concern that we might be waiting, that we might not be sleeping, but that our hearts might be drawn out after thee, Lord. Oh, dear Lord, that we might be wrestling with thee for thy appearing. Oh, cause that we might have a lively religion of the Holy Spirit, God-given. Lord, not settling upon our knees, but dear Lord, reaching out after thee. May we be brought to know that godliness with contentment, which is great gain. O Lord, to be found resting in thee. O, not resting short of thee, but resting in thee. I know that my Redeemer liveth. O Lord, what a mercy if we're brought to that place. But what a pathway dear Job had. And O dear Lord, we shall find that our pathway is through much tribulation. But O dear Lord, none of it is by chance. It is all according to thy holy will. Thou dost lead thy people forth by that right way. O dear Lord, we wonder at it. The busy scenes, the intricate scenes of this life. The millions rushing hither and thither. And no man can find out the work of God. But there is that work hidden, carried on, but hidden from the multitudes, searching out sinners that are elect vessels of mercy, separating them from this world, and drawing them to thyself to learn of thee. Oh, what a mercy to be separated unto thee, or in biblical language, sanctified. Oh Lord, made holy though we might feel to be so unholy. Lord, we cannot comprehend the greatness of the mercy, the depth of the mercy. Lord, but we plead that each soul here might be brought to know it. We plead, dear Lord, that there might be those in and around us in Maidstone, that thou wilt work in that hidden work which we cannot find out. Ah, but dear Lord, thou canst bring to fruition and cause thy work to appear. What a mercy if we see that, Lord. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. Thy glory unto their children. But O dear Lord, may thy work be found appearing in and around this chapel. May there be those souls brought in, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, there are those that worship thee. Oh, may they worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, oh, may there be a true seeking the Lord. Thou knowest, dear Lord, the awful state of this nation and of the churches therein. May there be, dear Lord, peace in Jerusalem, a oneness in thy church. Oh, dear Lord, a oneness settled in thee. And our Lord, as the world about us, as wars and rumours of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. Dear Lord, the sin of man waxing worse and worse. Oh, may we be found sheltering beneath the Lord, the Lamb. sheltering beneath thy blood. Lord, that thy blood might be upon the doorposts and lintels of our heart, that when the avenging angel cometh, it may pass over us, Lord, and we shall be saved. O Lord, we cannot comprehend the true depth of the meaning of the words we speak. But, O dear Lord, to be caught up with thee in the clouds. Lord, what a wonder of wonders. O Lord, prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform. Separate us, Lord, from the world. Draw us unto thee. Lord, work in us, Lord. Guard us from ourselves. Guard us from all that would draw us away from thee. And teach us, Lord. Oh, that we might be found sitting at thy feet, learning of thee. Oh, thou knowest all the assaults of the devil, those voices that would tell us within that that's not a nice case to be in. The world's far more attractive. The things of this life are fun and all the rest of it, Lord. But, oh Lord, may we flee as that one in the Pilgrim's Progress with our fingers in our ears, running as it were towards life, eternal life, and fleeing from the things of this life. Lord, and fleeing from all that will sink the soul to hell. Lord, work in us and give us God-given religion. Lord, we ask it. Leave not one out, Lord. Oh, the little ones are not too little for thee to work in. Thou knowest perfectly how to teach the little children. Please teach them, Lord. Give them a tender trust in thee, tender dependence upon thee, a tender fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom. So, Lord, please be with each one unable to be in thy house. Thou knowest their case. Thou knowest, Lord, the means that thou hast provided for those unable to reach thy house to listen in. Oh, we would thank thee for that means, but pray, dear Lord, that none might be left to use it wrongly. Lord, to forsake the assembly of themselves together. Lord, oh, may we be tender in these things. May we bless thee, though, for the means provided. Lord, when we are unable to attend thy house. Oh, may it please thee that through these means, even, dear Lord, though thou dost not need these means, thou knowest. For thou canst speak personally, directly to our hearts. But Lord, oh, may there be a right use of those means given for the assembling of themselves with those within thy house when thou art unable to be there in body. That there might be unity as we worship together. Unity in the things of God. And oh, have our union with the church's living head. Please make us right and keep us right in thy sight, Lord. Keep us close to thee. And Lord, do thou be our heavenly director. And may the worship of thy house be directed by thee and be in accordance with thy holy will. May there be that good thing done in thy courts this day, which is of the Lord. That's what we want, Lord. Thy work. Lord, come and work. We plead. Help us now. Help us to commit into thy hands our country, our leaders. Oh dear Lord, there's nothing hid from thee, and all events are at thy control. Help us to rest in thee, knowing, dear Lord, that all things will work together for the good of those who know thee and love thee, Lord. But ah, we do plead that it could please you to turn us again, and we shall be turned, and then there will be that putting away of those things that are contrary to thy word. And our Lord, a time of blessing, for thou art a faithful God. O Lord, hear us, we pray. Help us in these things, and forgive now, Lord, all we ask amiss. We ask thy precious holy name's sake, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Joe Woodham's next Lord's Day evening, and has helped, there will be a prayer meeting address read in the morning and a sermon read in the morning service. Next Lord's Day is also a day appointed for our monthly collection. And God willing to see then, Mr. Marcus Funnell is engaged to preach. May we now be helped to continue our worship by singing together hymn 999, tune Totten 249. Hymn 999. When any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do? Methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too? Our Lord, with such a heart as mine, unless thou hold me fast, I feel I shall decline, and prove like them at last. What anguish has that question stirred? If I will also go, yes, Lord, yet, Lord, relying on thy word, I humbly answer, no. Hymn 999, tune Totten 249. I will read a sermon preached by Mr. Ransbottom in 2011. His text you will find in the first portion we read in the first chapter of the book of Ruth and the 14th verse, the last clause of that verse. Ruth chapter 1, and the last clause of verse 14, but Ruth clave unto her. But Ruth clave unto her. The whole verse reads, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Did you notice how this lovely book of Ruth begins? Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. What were the days when the judges ruled? They were dreadful days. They were terrible days. When there was not much godliness left in Israel. The very last verse of the book of Judges, before we have the book of Ruth, is this. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If you read some of those last chapters, there were some dreadful things that were going on. People doing just what was right in their own eyes. No regard for God or godliness. But all this came to pass in those days when the judges ruled. those dreadful days, those terrible days, those God-dishonouring days, and the Lord still had a witness, his witness. The Lord still had one here and one there who loved and feared his name. There were still those who honoured him. There were still a few, even when they met at their daily work, who greeted one another, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless thee." So the book of Ruth gives a beautiful witness to real religion. True godliness in all its beautiful simplicity in that dark and evil day. God had not forsaken the earth. God had not lost the power to save. God's grace was still going to reign in the salvation of this Moabitish girl. If you read through the Word of God, there is nothing whatsoever good said about Moab. In fact, there is one whole chapter, and it is a very long chapter. It is Jeremiah chapter 48, and it tells us nothing but the wickedness, the evil of the Moabites. But here you see the Lord's loving purpose and kindness, an object of mercy, an object of his choice, hidden away in the ruins of the fall in the land of Moab. It could truly be said, "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God." Even in the land of Moab, the Lord had an object of his everlasting love. And he was going to find her out, his lost sheep. He was going to bring her to the fold. So I think you follow me this morning, the way in which I'm trying to deal with the subject. So often when we come to the book of Ruth, we speak of it in a symbolical way, an allegorical way, a gleaner in the field, and hungry soul, the heavenly Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, the bridegroom. Jesus, my Boaz is, my strength and portion too. His word of grace, the precious field, where I glean and go. You have often heard me, usually heard me, speak from the book of Ruth like that. And I believe it's right, because it is such a striking illustration of the Lord's dealing with sinners. And we cannot help notice that Boaz is the Redeemer, the first person spoken of as a Redeemer. Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he did worthily in Ephratah, and he was famous in Bethlehem. He was an ancestor according to the flesh of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So we cannot help seeing all these things as beautiful types and figures. But I do not want to deal with the subject at all in that way this morning, but with the Lord's help, to speak of Ruth the Moabitess, her religion, the reality of it, the blessedness of it. Now here she was, an object of God's eternal love, in the ruins of the fall, in the land of Moab, with evil men, with wicked men, where there was no godliness. How could she be brought to a knowledge of the truth? Well, the Lord is never in want of means. It was a strange way. It seemed that that godly woman Naomi and her husband acted wrongly in fleeing when trouble came in Bethlehem to a land where there was no truth. Everything seemed to go wrong. The Lord dealt bitterly with them. Naomi lost her husband and both her sons. Yet, how the Lord overruled what surely must have been a mistake, if not a sin, in Naomi. How he overruled it to the honour and glory of his name. You will find, beloved friends, that the Lord does at times overrule faults, mistakes, and sins. But let us be very clear, that is no excuse for them, no justification for them. It seems very clear that Ruth saw that there was something Naomi had which she did not have. She saw something of vital godliness. Do not forget, it was in a woman in the depths of sorrow and under the chastening hand of God. Ruth saw there was something there. She saw something of what real religion was. Something of what vital godliness was. And she had not got it. But she wanted it. And she could not be satisfied without it. I do hope there is a Ruth here this morning, that the Holy Spirit is going to find this Ruth out. Perhaps not just one. Surely we have a few Ruths here. Often real religion begins something like that. You see the people of God and you realise they've got something. Perhaps you used to despise them. Perhaps you did not. Perhaps you thought they were a bit too strict, a bit too narrow. Perhaps you thought they were strange. Now you see something in them as the excellent of the earth. And you feel you have not got what they have. As that deepens, you feel it is an eternally solemn thing if you never do have it. If you live and die without it, because it is vital. You have a little view of the blessedness of the people of God. Because they are a blessed people. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? I have often told you, I go back to it many years ago, and we were singing that lovely hymn, Immortal Honours. I could just see those three words over the top. Safety in Christ. Didn't I see the everlasting safety and security of the people of God in Christ? Loved with an everlasting love and redeemed with the Saviour's blood. I did not feel I had it. It was as if I was here and they were there. Oh, but to see the blessedness of the people of God. And that is what was going on in Ruth's heart. So that she had a longing desire to be one of them, to have Naomi's religion and Naomi's God. She was brought to this. She was willing to give up everything for it. That was what marked the reality of it. There came the test in time, and there will come the test in time with everyone, especially with a young person in the beginning of true religion. Your religion will be tested. There were two people here, and they both naturally loved Naomi. There was Orpah as well as Ruth. The time came when Naomi resolved to return to Bethlehem. She had heard how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread, and she felt she must return. Both of them were sad, and both of them loved her, and both said they would go with her. Naomi spoke very solemnly. She said, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Now, was Naomi right in the way she spoke? I think in reality it was this vital point that Naomi wanted to clear her conscience. She wanted to clear it with her two daughters-in-law by telling them to count the cost. It is an important point. We have a lot of it in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus spoke very, very closely of it. Those who would follow him, those who would profess his name, need to count the cost. Naomi was being very, very faithful. They were going to the land of Israel. They would be strangers. They would be foreigners. They would be despised Moabites, concerning whom the Lord had said no good. There was not much hope for them of being married again. It was going to be a life of poverty and perhaps a life of shame, a life of isolation. She told them to count the cost. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now the case of Orpah is a solemn case. There have been those Orpahs ever since in our chapels, in our congregations. Really, the spirit of Orpah was those solemn words we have been singing of just now in hymn 999. When any turn from Zion's ways. One of the greatest disappointments to a gospel minister over the years is to see a person go so far in the things of God. And you were as sure as you could be that this was a work of grace. And then to see them go back and to turn right back to their old life and the world and their idols. Orpah went back to Moab. She went back to Moab's comforts. It seems she had turned, according to what Naomi said in verse 15, to her pleasures and to her gods. She turned her back on the people of God. She turned her back on Israel's God and Lord. And she went back. And went back forever. There has always been that danger. And we still see it in our chapels today. These orphans who seem to go so far, but then when the testing time comes and your religion will be tested, what she had to give up, that choice to be made, she went back and went back forever. But Ruth clave unto her. Do you understand what it means when I say this? The roof could not go back. There are some here this morning and you cannot go back. You dare not go back. What is it? Depart from thee. Tis death till more. Tis more. Tis endless ruin, deep despair. The Lord Jesus had this, it says. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So they proved they were just like Orpah. They were not real disciples. The Lord Jesus said, will he also go away? Now Peter could not. He spoke for the rest of them, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Depart from thee, tis death, tis more, tis endless ruin, deep despair. There is something which held Ruth fast. Ruth clave unto her, and not just to Naomi, but to Naomi's God. In its fullest sense, Ruth clave and clung to Christ. That is the best religion. A religion that clings and cleaves to Christ. Our hymn writer never wrote a truer word than when he wrote, happy souls who cleave to Christ by pure and living faith. But Ruth clave unto her. In the religion of Ruth, you do not read anything remarkable. You do not read anything exceptional. You do not read anything striking. When you go to Jacob, didn't he have some outstanding things? Wrestling with the angel, revelations, visions, hearing God's voice. With Ruth, you do not read anything striking. She had this one thing. And it's the one thing that really matters. But Ruth clave unto her. That is the religion that takes a sinner to heaven. You have to cling to the people of God. You cannot give them up. Even in your darkest moments, you cannot give them up. I think I've told you how in those days of spiritual prosperity in the Highlands of Scotland, there was a woman under deep soul concern. And year after year, she sought and could not get what she wanted. One year, during their communion season, where for a few days godly ministers were going to speak, she went with much prayer that the Lord would sort her case out for her. One day passed and another and yet another. And it was the last day and the last preacher. Well, she said, if I don't get anything, I'm going to give it up forever. and the last preacher had finished. But before he sat down, he said, "Perhaps there is someone here today, and you cannot feel if you do not get what you want today, you're going to give it up." He said, "I have a word for you." She listened intently. He said, "Give it up, if you can." And in that strange way, that opposite way, the Lord sanctified that remark to satisfy her that she could never depart from the Lord, from seeking after Him, from cleaving to Him. Oh, seek that religion. However dark you are, however unbelieving, however hard, however prayerless, however disappointed, whatever troubles, whatever sorrows, whatever things you cannot understand, cling and cleave to Christ. Nearer, nearer to Him clinging. Let me wait, let my waiting soul be found. It is that clinging to Christ. It is that cleaving to the people of God. And there was love in it all. Whatever else there was with Ruth, or there was not, there was love. Love to the people of God. There was love to the God of Israel. Looking through it all, it was love to Christ. But Ruth clave unto her. People talk about godly women of the Word of God, like Esther and Mary of Bethany. They always put Ruth among them. People speak of Solomon for wisdom and Job for patience. I'm speaking of men as well. And when they come to Ruth, they speak of her constancy. Nobody can move her. Satan could not move her. Trials could not move her. The testing time could not move her. She could have said with her great grandson David, "My heart is fixed." I know some of us get tried about this. We feel our heart is anything but fixed. It is here, there, and everywhere. Fixed on this ground must I remain, if ever my poor soul be saved. 'Tis Christ must be the way. The constancy of Ruth. The Word of God uses this word, steadfast. She was steadfastly minded to go with her. Now may the grace of God make you and me steadfast. What does the hymn writer say? Steadfast still in faith abiding, life deriving from His death. But Ruth clave unto her. When Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, and then she left speaking unto her, she was satisfied. And Ruth clave unto her. Oh, but that beautiful, well-known language in which she expressed it. Naomi said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods." Naomi saw the root of it all and put it clearly, "and unto her gods." Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now Ruth's language, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Where thou diest, I will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You can look at this in two ways. First of all, as a loving desire. Ruth had it. I'm sure some of you have it, that loving desire. Come what may, whatever there might be, to be found among the people of God, in life and in death, never to be separated from them. With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. Is there a roof here this morning? Your loving desire, you want to be one among the people of God, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Also, Ruth spoke it in a second way, as a resolve. May there be some of you who go just beyond that desire, and through grace, as led by the Spirit of God, may you speak it as your resolve to live and die identified with the people of God. Entreat me not to leave thee. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I wonder if, in this sense, Ruth looked beyond Naomi, and she looked forward and had a glimpse of Christ. Entreat me not to return from following after thee. It was not just Naomi. She was going after Naomi's Lord. She was going after the Saviour. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where did the Lord Jesus go? Let us go forth therefore unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. Where did he go? Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. To have that blessed lodging place in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried? The people of God die in Christ. And when they are buried, they lie in the place where the Saviour lay. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Ruth clave unto her. And this was the language of Ruth, cleaving to her. Ruth was steadfastly minded. And this was the language of being steadfastly minded. But is the Holy Spirit finding one out this morning? You are identified with Ruth. You say, this is me, clinging and cleaving to the people of God. Steadfastly minded, not daring to go back with Orpah. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. So they too went, and they came to Bethlehem. And you see Ruth clinging and cleaving to the people of God right to the end. Now we could leave it there. A sinner saved by grace. But I do not want to leave it there, because there was a proof of it. In real religion, when a sinner clings and cleaves to Christ, there will be the fruits of the Spirit. By their fruits ye shall know them. There will be a witness. You will see the reality of Ruth's religion. Not just in her beginning. Not just in her resolve. Not just in her profession. But in the way she walked it out. It is a solemn thing if people make a wonderful profession and then do not walk it out. they dishonour it. Ruth clave unto her. There are a few things which are very striking. Right at the end of the book, the women of Bethlehem said to Naomi, "Thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee." Right at the end, when she had become a famous woman, Boaz was a great man. Ruth was no more a poor Moabitess gleaning in the field. She was a wealthy woman. She's still clinging and cleaving to Naomi. It's a terrible thing when people get on in the world. They forget their old friends and even their family and parents. I've witnessed it once or twice very sadly in my native town. People who got on, who would not acknowledge their parents in the streets. But Ruth clave unto her. At the end, and right at the very end, they are talking of how much she loved Naomi. But the thing that strikes me, we all know about Ruth going gleaning, and then going and lying down at the feet of Boaz, and all that. But again and again you find her asking Naomi what she had to do. And Naomi telling her what to do. And Ruth obeying Naomi. And Ruth honouring Naomi. And Ruth thinking all the time about Naomi. Tis a blessed thing to see a profession of cleaving to Christ walked out in humility and walked out in love. Ruth clave unto her. But there was a witness. In two places you have a most remarkable witness. Here is this young woman who has come. She is a Moabitess. She is a widow. She has nothing. She has nobody. But when Boaz first meets her, do you know what he says to her? It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. She had a blessed witness in Bethlehem. Obviously people were talking about her, saying things about her. In the next chapter, when Boaz meets her again, he made a most remarkable statement. He said, "All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." How did they know it? Well, she was not anybody. People do take notice, and people do talk. Sometimes they talk wrongly, and sometimes they talk too much, but you cannot stop people talking. They were talking in Bethlehem, and they were talking about this young Moabitess who had come, but everything they said about her was good. What a blessing. The witness of God's people. The Lord does not say ye must be witnesses. He says ye are my witnesses. The witness of some of the Lord's people has had a wonderful effect. Perhaps more in the small towns than in the villages. One great difference I found leaving a little town like Haslingden and coming to a big town like Luton. Everybody in Haslingden knew our chapel and what we were and what we professed. Everyone knew. And mercifully, they were all very respectful and tended to speak well of us. People in Haslingden would say, Those people are terribly strict, but they are good people. But in some villages and towns, it has been the opposite. But the point I'm emphasizing is this: Ruth clave unto her, and it was not just in profession, it was not just in talking. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. It is that living witness in the humble walk and the love and obedience of a child of God. Paul says, ye are our epistle, known and read of all men. Now the world does not read the epistle to the Romans. It sees the people of God and reads that epistle. Oh, that it might be to the praise and honour and glory of the Lord. If we see the fruits of the Spirit in Ruth's love to Naomi and her obedience and her humility, we see the fruits of the Spirit in her life, her walk and conduct and conversation becoming the gospel of Christ. Ruth clave unto her. Now Ruth gave up everything for Christ's sake, and really, Christ still demands that his people give up everything for his sake. But she did not lose by it. You think of her poverty. At the end, you think of her riches, her honoured position. There are two things I just want to speak about coming to a close in this. Them that honour me, I will honour. But one thing was this: Ruth's end was better than her beginning. Like Naomi, she was a young woman of sorrow when she forsook all for Christ's sake. She did not expect anything but poverty and sorrow. But what did she find? How the Lord blessed her and honoured her. And not just in grace, but also in providence. The old hymn is still very true: they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. And also this: God always gives the best to those who leave the choice to him. But secondly, and more important, we have just a little secret that came out in what Boaz said to her. He said this: the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You remember he said, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz lets out the secret there. He must have heard it, somebody must have told him, but Ruth was not disappointed spiritually in leaving Moab. She found more than she had left. She found her Saviour, found her hope, found her resting place, found her refuge, found her shelter, found her salvation, looking forward to gospel days and Christ. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Whether you think of it in the sense of overshadowing wings of the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, or whether you think of it as a hen gathering her chickens, but that place of blessing, that place of safety, that place of security, and Ruth had found beneath his wings, under his shadow, the shadow of his wonderful providence from first to last, the shadow of a father's love, the shadow of his gracious protection, and then the shadow, the shelter of the blood of Christ. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and Ruth did, and every true Ruth does, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But Ruth clave unto her. We trace it from its beginning, right through to its end. And she had the honour of being mentioned in the New Testament as an ancestor of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Beloved friends, it was a religion of love. Love from first to last. Love to Naomi. Love to the people of God. Love to the Lord. But Ruth clave unto her. Amen. Let us conclude by singing the hymn 135 to the tune Retirement 859. Hymn 135, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole, and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul, and to the weary rest. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never failing treasury, filled with boundless stores of grace. Hymn 135, tune Retirement 859. our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion, teaching the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.